Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a desert out there. Throughout Scripture, the desert is a continual theme. It's dry, it's lifeless, it's the place of testing and trial. It's a place of danger. And it's the place where God's people Israel journey through before they arrive at the promised land. And in Isaiah, God's people are on the brink of entering into another desert of sorts, when they will soon be taken into exile. It's a desert out there. You know, and maybe that's why the world looks forward to Christmas time so much every year. All the lights, the decorations, all the excitement, all the shopping, the presents under the tree, the gathering together of friends and family, the flurry of activity, and the consumerism. The bright lights twinkle in the distance of another year of gifts and gathering that promises to be another great time. But it's all a mirage, it may seem, at many times. After the Christmas season, we know through its shopping malls and promenades decked with all the tinsel, that when it turns to Christmas Day, rarely does the day seem to live up to all the hype. And maybe some say, so this is Christmas. See, in the desert of life in this broken world, we thirst for something of substance. We look to the Christmases of past and the Christmases of the future. We look to the Christmases of the past and think, oh man, that was the good Christmas. It's the kind of stuff that Christmas songs are made of. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. But the Christmas of present, that's the Christmas that never really seems quite as good. No matter which way you look, to the past or to the future, you see that brightly reflective, shining idea of Christmas to quench your thirst for the perfect Christmas. But once you get there, it's gone in an instant. It's kind of like a mirage in the desert. But you, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you know what Christmas is about. You see how fleeting all of it is, how transient the world's obsession with consumerism really is, how temporary all of that stuff out there does not bring lasting happiness. How even idolizing the gathering together of friends and family so often leads to disappointment. You know that the parched throat that has a hard time singing for joy at Christmas time. You see the desert, the void, the need for forgiveness, the truly abundant life that can only be quenched by your Lord. You, through God's word, entering your ears, have been renewed at the core. The word preached to you, spoken over you with the waters of baptism, given for you to eat and to drink with the bread and wine of Christ's very body and blood given and shed for you. All of this to parch your thirst, to fill your soul, to renew you. And that word of our Lord tells you, you have been bought with a price. You have been justified freely by God's grace. You have been filled with God's goodness and His Holy Spirit. And you know that the consumerism, the tinsel, the pomp and show is all a mirage. It's never as quite as satisfying as it seems. You know that the best that all that can do is distract you for a little while. Take your mind off of the grievances and sins for a little bit. Take your mind off the person that it's really difficult to forgive. Take your mind off the fact that parched death looms over us. There's only one thing, or rather person, that can fill you. It can fill you with the water of everlasting life to quench your thirst. And He is Christ, your Lord. And He is about to make amazing reversals in this desert. And this is cause for hope and patience now. As James says in our reading, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another. Brothers, put to death the desires of the flesh. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. So put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. Put away the old self and put on the new self, which has been given to you in Christ Jesus. Put on then, as Paul says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." See, this is the way that God has called you to live in the desert now. Because you have hope, founded upon the hope in Christ Jesus that He has given to you. And a life like this that Christ has given to you recognizes that the emptiness, the void, the dryness, the death, that is the stuff of the flesh, cannot renew. But occasionally we find ourselves fooled by the mirages in the desert. We see a glimmer of something over here or over there on this journey. We find ourselves placing maybe not all of our hope, but some of our hope in these things. We do. We all do. And then by God's revealing, we see it for what it is. A mirage in the desert. So let us hear again afresh the voice of the one calling out in the desert. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, turn away from the false hopes in this desert. Turn from your sin, because your sin and those mirages only mean one thing: judgment and death. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And there is one greater than John the Baptist, and He is the one of whom John testified. He is our Lord Jesus Christ, God made flesh in the manger, Redeemer of the world. He is the one who opens up the true promises of the word of Isaiah this morning. He He has traveled through the desert of this life, but he has traveled the way of holiness. He has led the way through the desert. He is the only one not fooled by the mirages and false pools that seem to offer eternal life. He conquered the tempter's power in the desert. He brought the fullness of life. Even in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus' fulfillment of Isaiah 35 became words of encouragement to John the Baptist, who was awaiting his own death. He unstopped the ears of the deaf. He opened the eyes of the blind. He caused the lame to jump and leap for joy. He opened the mouths of the mute to sing his praises. He is the one who has literally fulfilled Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. He is the one who offered the prostitute everlasting water at the well. He is the one who quenches the thirst for the righteousness through his word of forgiveness. He is the one who overflows with water and life that quenches the thirsty soul. All of this because he is the one who has remained resolute on the way that led to the cross. And there he thirsted and died, condemned a sinner in our place. But he was without sin and was raised from the dead. He burst forth from the tomb and broke open the well of eternal life that streams forth and gushes with life-giving waters to thirsty souls as it cascades down to you in the midst of your desert of this life. And that has come to you. It has come, he has come to renew you. And he gives you a glass of cold water that is everlasting. In baptism, God has made you his own. The word has been preached to you and is preached to you today. You have been justified in Christ Jesus, and you have been filled with everlasting water. And this is a gift for you today on the journey. It has been given to you fill you and to set your eyes on the true hope. As Paul says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And Isaiah says, strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Hold fast to the word of Christ that claims you, for God will come and deliver you. Christ has set you on his way of holiness. Even if you are occasionally fooled by the mirages and the false hopes of this world, you will not be led astray. You will not go astray because Christ's word is clear. As you hear him speak today, Christ has set you safely on the way of holiness that he has done, that he has redeemed you. For the way of holiness is where the redeemed and the ransomed walk, and that's you. And on top of all of this, your parched throats filled with those everlasting waters are renewed. That Christ loosens up your vocal cords to sing of his deeds. As Isaiah says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is yours in Christ Jesus. He is your hope. He is your life. And not only that, Isaiah's prophecy directs you to the hope on the final day. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. For the waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. These are all pictures of the last day. Pictures that God has given us through the prophet Isaiah. And they have been fulfilled by Christ, and they will be completed by him on the last day. That is your promise in Jesus. He has redeemed you by his blood. You have been ransomed with his death and life. And he now leads you through the desert, sustaining you along the way until the day when the glory of the Lord that you know in faith now will be manifest to the whole world, that you will see with your very eyes. Christ is your hope, your life, and your abundance. Amen.